Mr. Chairman, your general fund balance is $112.4 million. These numbers will obviously be precise in a few cases. For example, your 1 year funding is an involved calculation, but we do balance to $112,400,000.
Co-chair, we were at 90, right?
Yes.
So the other 12 came from, I mean,
well,
22?
About correct, Mr. Chairman. The biggest change was a $17 million decline because you only provided 1 year funding for Department
okay.
of Health.
So we have to be ready
requests.
For that. That's my point. Is that we don't
yes.
want to. We don't have money to throw away necessarily.
You also have an $81.66 million shortfall in the school capital construction account, $81,666,000. You could transfer a portion of that 112, and if you did so, you would have $30 million left in the general fund. There may be alternative ways, obviously, to address that, but you have a shortfall of that $81.67 million. I would also note two items with school capital construction when you consider your Section 300s. The first item is these revenues that you are appropriating come in over time, and the school capital construction account no longer enjoys a positive cash balance. So the school capital construction account, not unlike the general fund, will likely need a borrowing authority. Just to keep that in mind, even once you fix the $81 million, those state royalties don't come in until halfway through the next year, and some of these expenditures will undoubtedly start by then. Secondly, there are effective immediate requests in the school capital construction account, and those, depending on how you decide to fund that $81.6 million shortfall, those should be kept in mind as well. And finally,
Don, how much are the immediate funding immediately requests? And I think it'd be useful to know that figure.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, it's roughly $38 million.
So, Mr. Chairman,
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. So, for example, if we, if we were to guarantee the SIPA, for example, and we were to take that $81 million out of SIPA, profile it in there, then would we, in order to meet this obligation, would we have to like have borrowing authority out of LISRA to meet this immediate obligation and then pay it back, or what are some of the options that are available in it to do something like that? Just a question.
Mr. Chairman, you could have you have limited options, candidly. The SIPA money won't come in for at least 15 months at, under the best circumstances, more likely 18 months from now. Many of these projects will be gone. So you will have to have some borrowing authority. The school foundation program uses the permanent land fund, corpus, as its backstop for borrowing. You could use the LSRA. You could use the PMTF reserve account because that's the fund that would be guaranteeing the SIPA. Those are your choices, I guess.
So, and that there's what, 260, 270 in that account?
Mr. Chairman, there's $223 profiled. There's $253 million today.
And that will be 270.
Yeah.
Repeat those figures, please.
Today, the cash balance is $253 million.
Oh, okay. You said $253.
Oh, excuse me, $253 million.
And that will likely be more, but enough to cover immediate expenditure as a guarantee, but that means we'd have to take money out of the account essentially to use it, which means we'll need a backfilling mechanism. Well, and there is one, but it'll be taking it out for 18 months.
All right. What else you got for us?
Mr. Chairman, I think I had one more item I wanted to touch base on, and that is the LSRA balance. And the governor has about a $12 million higher LSRA balance than the JAC at this time. $1.326 billion is the projected governor's balance, and $1.318 billion is the projected JAC LSRA balance.
1.3 what?
185.
So give us the inverted numbers on that again.
Sure. So, Mr. Chairman, the governor leaves at least $1.326 billion in the LSRA.
No, I mean, what are we guaranteeing or spending out of it? Governor's 239.
Oh, yes, Mr. Chairman. The governor spends $236.7 million for schools and $37.5 million for endow. The Joint Appropriations Committee spends $139.6 million for schools, $105 million for locals, and $37.5 million placeholder for endow. If you want me to take off the endow from JAC's profile.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
So the governor didn't profile the 105 local at all?
Mr. Chairman, the big difference is he profiled that out of general funds.
Okay.
And you used a large amount, not exactly the same, but the big difference between your budgets, you paid off the capital with $80 million. So that's, I know there's a lot of little things, but those are the two big things.
So, Mr. Co-Chair, then the question is, what do we do next? Do we do SIPA or do we do the 300s? And I'm just trying to think in sequence what makes the most sense.
I would like to hear what Don's opinion on that.
Mr. Chairman, I think it would be appropriate to do SIPA now.
Then the budget balancers.
Right. Now, there are a few what I would call smaller items in Section 300, which are more narrative or, you know, very small dollar amounts that members may want to raise or not. But the big issue outstanding is SIPA.
All right. Let us do SIPA.
Let us begin.
Don, were you going to give us what other members, what members of the committee have given you, or were we going to go around here?
Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to discuss items that have been brought to my attention. They may be erroneous. Before doing so, from a 30,000-foot point of view, the fiscal year 18 SIPA has already been appropriated, but you've made some adjustments to that. Recall that there's a potential of $88.1 million total.
$88.1 million total. Okay.
Of that amount, you have already appropriated $20 million for state health facilities, $24.4 million for the last payment of the UW Science Initiative, $12 million for the Casper State Office Building.
Wait a minute. I don't write that fast. Okay, what was the last one?
$12 million for the Casper State Office Building.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I understood your motion on the payoff of the state capital would be for the full $80 million, which no longer needs the $20 million priority four in this list. So it frees up $20 million that were previously dedicated to payoff of the state capital for another purpose, if you so desire.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, of the remaining, I believe it's $11.4 million, $7.5 million of that was redirected for a highway construction project in the southeast portion of the state.
Southwest.
So the balance is for 3.9 or 4.2? I forget. 7.5, and it was 11.6, 11.7.
So, Mr. Chairman, was it the we had
4.2
that in there 11 profile 11, correct? And which we've taken 7.5, leaving the 4.2.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. And keep in mind, these are not guaranteed. If we have a decline in equity markets or if we no longer receive any additional capital gains for the balance of the year, right now, to date, we have received gains sufficient to roughly pay off the first two priorities only. If we don't get any more gains, then nothing else gets paid for. I just want folks to be aware of that potential.
That's through December 31st?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
So we'll get probably another 40 to 60 January, because he does it monthly, right?
Mr. Chairman, he does deposit those monthly. I can't anticipate what this month's will be.
Now, we know it's up from December 31st right now.
Mr. Chairman, the markets, yes, but not the realized gains. Realized gains take a sale to generate.
Yeah.
So some months there are no sales.
They don't sell. No.
Chairman?
Representative Silverstein.
Mr. Chairman, so, you know, on that $20 million with, that is the capital fund, if we named it something like legislative contingency, I'm asking Don this, so I'll wait till he's back in action. So, Mr. Chairman, Don, sorry about that. So of that $20 million that's the capital fund, if we were to name it something like legislative contingency fund, would that allow us, if we have some overruns in certain facility projects, that we could use that at some later point for that?
Well, and it could also be used by legislative initiatives that are brought during the session as well. In other words, we just don't earmark it for anything specific.
So all the stuff you have listed here in SIPA is stuff we haven't approved yet.
Mr. Chairman, you have approved all of these things. What I was pointing out is there's $20 million in the number four priority that is available for something else if you want. You don't have to spend this money. But if you want to spend it, there's no project that has taken that $20 million. And then in the last priority, there's approximately $4.2 million.
Okay. How many priorities are there?
There are five priorities.
And the fourth, which one is the fourth?
The fourth one was $20 million to the state capital.
To the capital, okay.
And it's no longer necessary. So if you wanted to spend it on something else.
Well, we could renumber.
Mm-hmm.
So then, big picture, anything, just work us through what we can expect for 2019-20.
Mr. Chairman, right now we're profiling $92.4 million, and because this is a dynamic number, meaning it's calculated each year, it's likely to be slightly different the following year, but $92.4 million in SIPA 19 and $95 million for SIPA 20. There are two obligations this committee has already approved, $10 million for a deposit in the state penitentiary in SIPA 19.
How much?
$10 million. That was approved earlier this morning. And an additional $10 million in SIPA 20 for the state penitentiary. This is the holding account for the construction of a new facility.
Okay.
So you have $82.4 million that is unaccessed.
How much?
$82.4 million in the first year and $85 million in fiscal year 20.
So, Mr. Chairman, question back for Don on the $20 million in SIPA 18 that's no longer needed for that. If we just eliminate the verbiage for that, the $20 million just sits in that SIPA account, unobligated, right? And it would take further action by the legislature to move it wherever, anyway. So, if there's no really is there a reason to create another pot of money to stick it in, like brand it legislative contingency. It's already legislative contingency, right, if it just sits there? Or am I wrong?
Mr. Chairman, it does just sit in the SIPA account. But if the health facilities hypothetically comes in $5, $10, $15 million more, they will not be able to proceed with the project because there is not an appropriation sufficient to cover the increased cost. They will have to ratchet that down, bid out a smaller project, but they would not have access to these funds unless you affirmatively give them access.
This is all stuff the committee's already voted on and approved.
This was all voted on last year.
Right. Okay, so Don, right now, after the stuff that we voted on for SIPA 18, you had 4.2 left over plus the 20 to the capital, so you've got 24.2 left over in SIPA 18, right?
Mr. Chairman, correct.
Okay.
And, Mr. Chairman, I was just having a conversation with Don while you were too. There's no way, Mr. Chairman, to act if we need that money for those state facilities. If we have an overrun in the state facilities piece, we have no way to access that if we don't designate it. I mean, we can't, like, let it sit there or put it in another fund unless we designate in that fund that it can be expended for that purpose.
So then the designation would just be for any and all state facilities projects? Or?
Mr. Chairman, that's one option. You could let the State Building Commission make the necessary designation for those funds.
I'm trying to remember when, and I recall it was brought up again this morning, early this morning when we had a meeting, informal meeting. I thought we were putting on the prison holding account, I thought we were putting 15 a year in.
We modified that this morning.
Down to 10.
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, you can tell them what I'm
going to do. Mr. Chairman, there's some concern if we make it for 15 years that at some point prior to then, people may stop maintaining the penitentiary as it should be maintained. 20 years, WJ had indicated to us they felt that was a good number, so thus the reduction in down to $10 million from 15. I've done some quick calculations. I would not call them very accurate, but they're close. $10 million for 20 years with compounded interest gives us, in 20 years, $374 million. If you take Sletten's estimated cost to build one now and a 3% inflation rate in 20 years, that's $382 million. So it's a wash. Plus, we looked at it. We ought to be able to keep that building for at least 20 years, maybe longer.
I'm sorry. That was a portion of the conversation I wasn't in on or didn't hear or something. But I don't think that – I'm not going to argue much about 15 versus 10, but but only putting 10 in versus 15 is not going to keep them from maintaining that property.
No, it's not so much the money, Mr. Chairman. It's the time.
Yeah.
We want the building to last for 20 years. And so, in effect, we backed into 20 with the $10 million.
Okay, and the SIPA 19 and the SIPA 20 is basically unrealized at this point. So if we start putting, projects onto that, we don't know what's going to happen.
We can do two things. We can guarantee it with the reserve account, or we can be like the other tranches that if you choose to guarantee, you may, and you can pick what the guarantor is. It could be LSRA, it could be the reserve account, it could be, and depending on the project, some projects we guarantee, some we don't, but in the past.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, so.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. So we can guarantee, you know, and we went over this yesterday, but maybe, Don, you need to do it again. We can guarantee the SIPA with what we have in the reserve account, and then that will profile, right? And that way we guarantee the money to these projects because we have the money in the reserve account to do so.
Mr. Chairman, you have sufficient funds to guarantee for 2 years, 19 and 20. You don't have sufficient funds to guarantee all of 18, if that is your desire. Number two, it will show, whether it is reality or not, but it will show a decrease in the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund reserve account, and that will be spent only in the event that the state treasurer does not generate the spending policy amount of 5%.
Which reserve account? Lizra?
Mr. Chairman, the Permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund account, page 5 of the profile.
All right. And so, so the 2018 SIPA, that money is there? Don?
Mr. Chairman, I think he said that to date, as of the end of the year, the first $40.4 million to take care of the number one and number two
priorities has been realized. The others will be realized starting
without
here.
Well, I thought you said we had $88.1 million in SIPA right now.
Mr. Chairman, it is projected.
That's the projected amount.
If we hit 5%.
And right now, how much do we have in there?
Right now, about half of that, about $50 million.
Which covers the first two priorities. Okay. All right. What do you want to do?
So I think we ought to first go to 2018. And then the discussion would be, do we want to guarantee that? Or obviously we don't need to guarantee or do anything with the first two. So I would make a motion that we increase the CASPER amount of SIPA 2018 by $3 million. Because based upon the most recent figures, the cost of that project, and it already has funding in it. I think the original cost was $42 million, roughly. And I think that needs to be $45 million. And so we need to add $3 million to that number in order to, you know, that's just what happens when the next level two came in. So to me, that's the first easy thing to do.
So you want to kick that from 12 to 15?
That's correct, yeah.
Is that a motion?
It is.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That passes. So we have now lowered the reserve we have left to 21.2. Done.
Mr. Chairman, you may also want to affirmatively eliminate the $20 million for the capital.
Oh, that's coming next.
Okay.
So the next motion would be to take the $20 million that's designated for the capital and put that in the construction account.
Well, right now we'll just call it reserves because whatever we have left then we can put the name on later.
Which will be available for state construction projects as approved by the governor.
Wait a minute, because you're talking about doing something different here. You're talking about, let's call it for now, just call it the SIPA reserve.
Yeah.
What we have left over. Let's wait before we start making plans for it.
Well, if we don't designate put it into a construction reserve account, then it flows out of SIPA.
Correct? Bob, we can do that in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying is let's wait. Let's wait and do the projects that we're going to do, and then decide what we're going to put it, what we're going to call it.
If we put it in the reserve account, we're not going to do any projects with it. It's going
to that's all we're calling it for now, for the next 10 minutes.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm sorry. I apologize. So then the next thing is, and Don, in order to deal with the $4.2 million that's left, I have a proposal that goes into the school.
Wait a minute. Let's deal with our priorities, top five priorities first.
Oh, yeah.
So the next one is the $20 million that was going to go to the Capitol. We need a motion.
Okay.
So to not spend that.
So, yeah.
So move.
Not spend it and put it into the construction reserve account.
No, let's decide what we're not going to spend before we decide what we are going to spend on. That's what I'm saying. Let's deal with the top five priorities. What we have left, then we'll deal with that. It's just a matter of process.
There is nothing left to what we're going to spend it on other than reserve it.
That's what we're going to do for now.
Okay. So what's the motion?
The motion is to not spend the $20 million on the capital.
Put in reserves.
Okay.
So moved.
I see.
All right. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. All right. So now, and so we're not doing anything else with the Cole Road, the Castor office building.
No, we are with that.
Well, the 11.4. I mean, we're not changing that now.
Well, it's already, 7.5 is already gone.
Yeah.
So the only left in that coal road is 4.2.
Yeah.
So it's 11.4.
7.5 to the coal road.
So what's the 11.4?
That was
the entire amount of the Gillette Road.
Right.
We've taken 7.5 out of that, which is now in the Kemmerer.
Oh, okay.
Westmoreland Road. So there's a remaining $4.2 million that is unappropriated or that is still sitting in. And so, Tom, just tell me the mechanism, because I have a proposal which will involve school facilities that involves this $4.2.
Well, just so I have this straight, how much are we putting in the Kemmerer Coal Road?
7.5.
Then where'd the 11.4 come from?
Mr. Chairman, there was a total of 11.4, I believe it is, designated for a mineral-impacted road understood to be Campbell County. They have proceeded with that project, as I understand, through the use of county funds, a private contribution, and a sizable amount of YDOT funding. They are, I think, anticipating some of these funds. But that's I'll just leave it at that.
They're not really anticipating them anymore.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
So we made a motion, and I just need to make sure that I've got my numbers from the right priorities. We made a motion and passed to put an extra $3 million into the Casper State office.
That's true. Yeah.
Which priority did we take that money from? Because I still hear a reference to $20 million in the state capital priority, and if that money come from there, that would only be $17
million.
Or if it came from the $4.2 million, it would come from there. So I need to know which priority we took that $3 million from.
And I think we need to clarify that, Mr. Kocher. And the motion was to take that from the state capital funds.
Okay. Does that make sense?
So that takes that 20 that we haven't acted on, which is the reserve, down to 17.
Now I'm really confused.
Thanks.
All right, we've got 88.1 projected. We're spending $20 million on health facilities.
Correct.
Right? Then 24.4 on the science initiative.
Correct.
15 on the Casper office building.
Correct.
7.5 on the Kemmerer Road.
Correct. And then 17 on the it's a known that reserve that's on.
So now what do we have left?
4.2.
No, we don't.
Mr. Chairman, you've got the one priority that you've not adjusted in this last conversation was the state capital money that we don't need. Was originally $20 million, but we've taken three of that for the Casper building, so that would leave 17 unaccounted for.
In the reserve.
that we have to put.
We're spending, we'll just stay with me. Maybe I'm slow here. We're spending $20 million on health facilities.
Correct.
$24.4 on the science initiative.
Correct.
$15 on Casper office building. $7.5 on the Kemmerer Road. That totals $66.9. Wait a minute. And that's from the 88, you'd subtract that from the 88.1 that we have as a projected for SIPA 18.
Which leaves?
That leaves 21.2.
And subtract 17 from that.
And what's the 17 from?
That's the reserve that we have that's undesignated, which was the capital.
Well, wait a minute. But we got 21.2 left over.
Right. Then you subtract 17, which is... So the 4.2 plus 17 is that number.
What's the 4.2?
That's the remainder in the Gillette Road that we have not designated yet.
Oh, okay. So that's a plus.
Yes.
To the 21.2.
No, that is the 21.2.
So, Mr. Chairman, now I've...
Who's on first?
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
So if there was 11.4 in the Gillette Road, and you take out 7.5 million, that does not come up to 4.2. So I'm asking Don.
That's the number that I asked Don about earlier. Was it 11.4 or was it 11.6?
Mr. Chairman, it's 11.7.
Okay.
There's where the deal is.
So that's we have 4.2 or 4.3 left. Right in there. So.
Where's the 17 spent?
It's not. That's what you said we're going to wait 10 minutes because it's just sitting there because that was the capital.
So 88, we got 88.1.
Yep.
We're spending 66.9.
Right.
That equals 21.2.
Right. So, actually, we have 21.2 to designate.
Yeah.
And right now, but that 21.2 consists of the remainder of the capital and the remainder of the Pioneer or of the Gillette
Road. Right.
And so, of that remainder, the 4.2 is from Gillette Road.
But it's left over.
Right. Exactly. So I think we're saying the same thing.
But no, you're saying that there's you're differentiating this 4.2 from the 21 from the 17.
I'm adding the 17, the 4.2 to the 17 to make it 21.2.
Okay, it's 21.2 that we have to play with.
Right.
Okay. That's all I was saying.
So now I'm making my motion on the 4.2, or having a question for Don. And my question is, Don, that for the school facilities, I want to take a certain amount of dollars out of that, out of the components, and roughly $10 million, and then take this 4.2 and add those dollars combined and put those into school facilities for Cary Junior High, so it'd be a construction as opposed to component. So to do that, do we do that now on the motion, or do we wait till we do school facilities?
Mr. Chairman, I think the motion appropriate at this time would be to take 4.2 million from SIPA and deposit it in the school capital construction account.
So,
and then how it's spent out of there
that would be my motion. And the reason I'm explaining that, and this is why I talked about that on Wednesday night.
Well, I remember you talking about this. Yeah. I didn't remember everybody agreeing to it.
It's true. But this is where, when I went through the breakdown of the 10 million and the 4.2 here, and then the remainder of that to get to about to roughly 39 million for Cary Junior High is going to come from land funds and other reserve revenues that Laramie County Number One has currently on the in their reserve account, and so Cary Junior High is going to commit part of the funds. This 4.2 will be part of the funds, and then the component dollars will be part of the funds to reach a balanced in order to fund additional funding. Essentially, it's about $19 million for the completion of Cary Junior High.
Okay. So we're, the two things we have left to do here in SIPA while we're here is vote on whether to transfer 4.2 of the funds over to school CapCon.
Correct.
And the other is to what to label the $17 million left over.
Correct.
What do you want to do first?
A motion on the 4.2.
And the motion is to move the 4.2?
Correct.
And it's been seconded?
Correct.
Okay. Any discussion on it? Well, I'm a no. That's my discussion.
Sure. Appreciate it.
All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Okay. That passes. So we now have $17 million left over in the SIPA account. What do you want to call it?
I would call it the State Capital Construction Projects Reserve Account. Or, does that work?
Can't you think of anything longer?
A question, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
With that we have set aside there, Don, and I think your point was critically important, is how do we need to add a footnote then that can be made available at however discretion in because as we have some of those bids for various projects around the state come in, if we don't have that access, then they can't move forward, as Don was pointing out. Do I have that correct, Don?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. Just putting it in account doesn't appropriate it for any purpose.
Right.
So this, I think you're asking that it include an appropriation at the direction of the SBC to designate funds for Life Resource Center or whatever.
So here's my point, is that we don't have to do anything until the session. So we can just leave it in this account and not designate it, because there's no reason we have to act between now and the session.
Just for identification purpose, I'd call it 18 SIPA Reserve.
Yeah,
or SIPA 18 Reserve.
Okay, that's it. But I would suggest
18 SIPA Reserve.
Don't designate it for anything.
Yeah.
Because if we don't need to, we don't need to designate it.
One follow-up question just to clarify that with Don. So if we were between now and session able to determine on a project if what the anticipated costs were going to be, it's still going to have to be passed during the legislative session, so we're good. Thank you.
Okay. What else you want to do?
I think that completes.
Mr. Chairman, I think you need to vote on that motion, the 18 SIPA reserve of $17 million.
Second.
All any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We had to vote to not spend money?
Yes.
Designated as a reserve.
Okay.
So then next, Mr. Co-Chair, I think is the move to SIPA 1920 if we want to take any actions on it.
Yeah, if you want to, well, we've already encumbered.
So our shoulders get bigger.
$10 million
and bigger
for each.
Yeah, so that's already done.
Is there any other? Are there any other encumbrances you want to put on it?
So, Mr. Chairman, should we? I mean, I'd like to see, and I'd bring a motion to basically guarantee the 1920 SIPA with the reserve account. The Permanent Mineral Trust Fund Reserve Account.
That's the one that has currently $250 million in it.
Mr. Chairman,
we'll go up to 260 or 270.
Mr. Chairman, I need a little more explanation on that, if you could please.
Refer. So I think this. So that we can act. Yeah. So, Mr. Chairman, I think this morning I handed out the chart to all of you, and I'm going to let Don explain it because he explains it better than I. But I think everybody has the chart that shows the funds and where SIPA comes from, or should have. And if they don't, I can get another one.
Mr. Chairman, I think the directive to
Don, it would help me, too, is just give me some comfort level with regard to the permanent mental trust fund reserve account, what's expected out of that account, and whether or not we're okay, and for what period of time, ensuring the funds into SIPA.
Mr. Chairman, I want to make sure my motion was just for the 2 years of the budget guarantees.
I'm having my question. Maybe Don will answer it in his explanation. But if you want the permanent mental trust fund reserve account to guarantee SIPA's 19 and 20, when in fact we've actually encumbered very little of it, why do we need to do that?
Just for purpose of conversation, one of the things we're going to do, and one of the next motion, is move the endow funds into the SIPA 19.
Oh, so you are going to encumber it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that way, Mr. Chairman, we save the LISRA. I mean, we spend less out of the LISRA.
No, that makes sense. I didn't realize we were going to start spending the endow funds because I don't know what half of them are going to be spent on.
Well, and when we move to do the endow, then we can have a discussion of which portions of the endow, if we want to put it all in or not all in.
All right.
So we can have that discussion.
All right. Don?
Mr. Chairman?
Make it clear.
Currently, the Permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund Reserve Account guarantees the 2.5% that is deposited annually into the general fund. That's a 2.5% investment return, five-year average of the market value. Representative Summers' proposal is to guarantee an additional 1.25%, which is deposited into the SIPA account. I believe his motion was just for 1 year.
No, my motion was for the biennium.
For the biennium, for 19 and 20. That would come at a cost of $187.4 million.
That's the 92.4 that you gave us in the 95.
That's the 92.4 in 19 and the 95 in 20.
Which are the projected revenues from SIPA, for SIPA.
Which exactly are the projected revenues for SIPA. There are sufficient funds on page 5 of the Goldenrod or the legislative fiscal profile because there's $223 million in that fund that is not encumbered for any purpose. So you would draw that down considerably in the event that the state does not enjoy at least 5% spending policy. In the event that the state does enjoy 5%, none of these funds would be spent. It is only a guarantee in the event that the state generates less than 5% in investment income for those two fiscal years, 19 and 20. If we have two bad years, then the ending balance on June 30th, 2020 of the Permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund Spending Policy Reserve Account would be approximately $36 million.
By bad years, you mean no returns over 2.5%.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
But before we go on, but my understanding is that in terms of profiling, you already profile 2.1%.
Mr. Chairman, we not only profile the 2.14% in interest and dividends, you can see on the top of page 5 of the profile, we include about $15 million a year for that guarantee to bring it up to the full 2.5%.
So what's interesting about that is currently with this permanent mineral reserve account, we're guaranteed with $262 million, we're guaranteeing about $15 million because everything else is already profiled at the end of the day. Is that fair? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, when the profile comes out, if you adopt Representative Summers' motion, it will show a balance of just $33 million in the PMTF reserve account rather than $200.
That's unencumbered.
Right.
Okay. Senator Landon. Okay. All right. We got a motion. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That motion passes. We have now guaranteed SIPA 19 and 20.
So, Mr. Co-Chair, the next motion would be to take, I think probably the way to do it is take the endow recommendation of the governor and put that into SIPA for 2019. And then if there are issues of any one of those particular items that are in endow,
the entire 37.9?
Right.
45?
And then if we want to take some of that out or modify it or add to it, then we can do that by motion.
Or not spend it.
Right. So I would move that we put endow into the SIPA.
Moved and seconded. Discussion? Explanation? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Okay. We've done that.
Mr. Cook, no, I'm sorry.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. You know, I think the other thing is that we need to do in here is how much of the $81.7 million in K-12 CAPCON that we have an obligation for. There was a discussion by Don, you know, kind of my idea is we put that in here. That's a construction project like any other, but we have some immediate obligations. So I guess, is there a, Don, I'm asking, I know you give some options, but is there an elegant way to do this? If we wanted to put that 81.7 in there, or do you have an idea?
I have a motion.
Okay, perfect.
So my motion is to take one half of the 81.66 school cap obligation and put it half in SIPA and pay half of it with general fund dollars. And make the number, the figure that we have from Don, effective immediately. So, and the reason I'm doing that is it leaves general fund dollars available, and I want to leave certain amount of general fund dollars available for the legislative body when in February for whatever bills that people bring. And I don't know what that amount is, but at least by doing it this way, we're leaving at least $40 million.
All right. Well, is there a second?
Second.
Okay. It's $41 million, just for simplicity's sake, we'll call it 82. $41 million out of general fund and $41 million out of where?
SIPA.
SIPA 19?
Correct.
But the money isn't in there. So you're going to use the guarantee money from the reserve account?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
It'll be there. We're just guaranteeing it with SIPA. In other words, for 2019, all we have, if anything over 2.5%.
And this is school CAPCO.
Will be part of SIPA that will pay for the capital construction for the 1920 biennium.
And Mr. Chairman, go ahead.
Just let me finish. We kind of have to do this because this is the only way we're going to have a balanced budget.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, so it's.
And Mr. Chairman, I think that covered that. We heard that there was in like a $30 million immediate need in school CAPCON that we're going to have to work
on.
Right,
I heard that.
Yeah, okay. So that's, just everybody.
That'll come out of the general fund.
Right.
That'll, 41.
Yeah.
And then at the back end, because this is for the biennium. So at the back end, the money should already be pouring into SIPA 19.
Yep, by the time we're
so
there.
Hopefully you won't need the reserves. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, just to clarify, I just was trying to find my notes. So if we pull that half out of general fund, that would leave us a balance of what?
Mr. Chairman, just to clarify, I think I missed the tail end of what you were talking about. I'm sorry about that. But the general fund would accommodate the effective immediates, you said?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
And, Mr. Chairman, to Representative Larson's point, we'll just need a sec.
Okay. Thank you. How much? That's close enough. Calculator
Tom here said about 45 million.
So I've got, so on SIPA 19, we've now spent 78.5 million out of what, 82 or 87? Out of 87.
Out of 92.4.
Is that what's going to be in SIPA 19?
Yep.
Why do we have 87 million now?
That's this year's. It increases next year.
Oh, okay. You're an optimist.
That's what's profiled. It's because the Permanent Trust Fund is larger, so the amount of interest accrued is larger.
So just to give.
So that leaves us 13.5 million in SIPA 19.
Correct.
And Don, is that
Mr. Chairman, I actually don't follow that. I get 92.4 minus 10 million for the state pen.
Oh, 92.4, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about the state pen.
So my motion to guarantee was for the biennium.
Correct.
Yeah, and so we're just doing it 1 year at a time. Is that correct?
So we've got 10 million, and then we've got the 37.5 for Endow. That's out of 19. And then we've got about 41 million for School of Capcom. So that's 8. That's 88.5 million.
You want to go 19-20?
Leaves about 4 left.
Leaves about 4 million. You guys are going quite a shopping spree here. All right.
Well, we had this. The 81 was the big gorilla in the room.
Oh, yeah.
So now we just took care of it.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So if I can just check with Don to make sure I'm tracking completely along this way. If we happen to have a bad year, what we've done, and suppose we get 4% returns only, then what we are doing is guaranteeing the general fund, guaranteeing SIPA, and the LISRA refill will be significantly reduced, just to be that's how it will work, right?
Well, we'll also be draining the permanent middle trust fund reserve.
But I mean,
that's the guarantor.
Mr. Chairman, but we've only guaranteed the SIPA part, the 1.25 that goes to LISRA. We haven't put any guarantee on that. So if we only got, say, 4%, then the general fund and the SIPA will fill and the LISRA will not.
That's right. Correct.
Right.
So that's all the motions I have at the moment.
At the moment?
So, Mr. Chairman, does Don have a running total of what's in 19, SIPA 19?
Mr. Chairman, I did come up with $4,067,000. Of course, we'll double-check these. $4,067,000 is left.
That's what we have left in SIPA 19. Representative Larson.
Mr. Chairman, are we still requiring a vote on this last motion?
Yes, we probably are. Good. Thanks for reminding me of that. That's a motion. There's a second.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That passes. Representative Larson.
So a question that I have for the body is we put the Endow in SIPA 19. Then when we went to the CapCon, we had a concern that there would be some funds required immediately, so we took some of that out of general funds. Would we see the same issue arise with that Endow money? Would there be a need for that, any of that immediately, or are we comfortable that that would become available in the estimated 18 months from now when SIPA 19 becomes available? Don, is that accurate in what I'm saying?
Mr. Chairman, since it is guaranteed the funds would be available by that cash guarantee, it would require a spend down of the reserve account.
Okay, that's right. Thank you.
I would also add one more wrinkle in this. All of these actions, depending on where you go from here, but we're essentially through 18 and essentially through 19 SIPA, we have one challenge, if you will, on that 37.5 million in Dow, because these issues are crossing over between two bills. right? Everything here is the CapCon bill except for Endow, and Endow is over here in another bill and the budget bill. So we're going to have to be creative in how we earmark those $37.5 million for Endow. Just to give you a heads up.
In case, okay, assuming Endow passes.
Correct.
I'm thinking if the Endow bill doesn't pass, can we bring separate bills for separate components of it? Like, for instance, I'm thinking of the airfare.
Mr. Chairman, I think there will be separate bills for separate components, but there.
So, for instance, Von Flatern's bill was the $15 million. That's the same $15 million Endow wants. So Endow could fail, Von Flatern's would pass, or vice versa.
Right. The challenge is setting aside that $37.5 million, and we're talking about the state capital construction bill.
Right.
The title of the state capital construction bill is not so expansive. We're not talking about the budget bill that where we do any. Now we have Endow appropriations in a state capital construction bill. All I'm suggesting is that's going to have to require a fair bit of creativity to designate
those
funds.
Well, we'll just have to build a big Endow building.
So,
Mr. Chairman, Representative Larson.
Is it better to do that in the budget bill, or is it as the 320? I mean, is there an easier way for you guys to do that? Could we bring that into? Okay, very good. Thank you,
Mr. Chairman. I think this is possible. When you see it, just be aware that there'll be an issue with including Endow, but we'll figure something out.
I think what's more likely to happen is, because it's going to be a month from now, we'll see it. We'll know it. Our problem is going to be explaining it.
And so, you know, and just trying to figure out how Endow dollars are going to be spent. If it's because we guaranteed SIPA, we could actually take the 37.5 and divide that up into 19 and 20. Because the purpose of the, for example, the airfare is
over 10 years.
Is a 10-year project, and if it's guaranteed, then the guarantee is going to be there no matter what. I believe in terms of negotiations. In terms of the $5 million and the $6 million that are one of the components of Endow, we don't even know what it is yet.
Right.
Kind of what it is or how it's going to be spent or what the plan is. And so we could actually take one of those projects and spread it out.
Mrs. Hill, could you tell us what you're going to do with Endow?
That's a good question.
And so it's one of those things that...
Crystal ball, please.
Mr. Chairman, the governor has spoken with the Senate President and the Speaker, and there is some thought to making Endow an omnibus bill with multiple pieces under that umbrella. I think that's all part of what will be worked out over the next few weeks as they talk about and you all talk about which pieces need to go in the big bill. So I think before you come back on February 12th, there will be a clearer fiscal mapping.
Well, see, this is where one of my discomforts comes in from Endow. I don't know. We know how the airfare thing is supposed to work, and we know that's going to be stretched out over 10 years. So we could actually take $12 million of the $15 and move it over to SIPA 20 and to create more room in SIPA 19. But the other parts of Endow, I don't know how the spending is supposed to be spread or what the spending is going to be on.
Mr. Chairman, there are pieces of Endow which will require appropriations. For example, there's discussion about the workforce portion of the Endow recommendations. I would just remind the committee, the charge to the Endow Steering Committee was to provide a preliminary report on December 1st. So all of those recommendations, the air service, the workforce training, the entrepreneurial zones, the innovation, those are the big ticket items, those were presented to you. Some of those already have sponsors in distinct bills. So part of the question is, how do we proceed, which is part of the conversation that the governor continues to have with you guys individually and with your leadership. So the committee, actually the executive committee, meets on the 26th next week to further refine their recommendations. And it's on a very tight timeline. That's appreciated. But you got that December 1st report. They meet again January 26th, and we're still working on those fiscal details and mapping out how that would be implemented.
Yeah, thank you.
Thus, Co-Chair, why we might need to meet again the first day of the session.
That's why we're going to have another round robin at least, and probably another 300 go-round. All right. Anybody else? Representative Larson.
Mr. Chairman, I would make a motion following up on the discussion this body had earlier today on that the integrated system for Department of Family Services. We set aside $3 million for it available immediately to get started on that integrated system, but we haven't done anything else for the rest. So we had an estimated bill of $9.317,490. We've set aside $3 million. So I would move that we set aside out of the 19 SIPA, if there's this much remaining in there, is $6.317,490. And if there's not that much, to move the remainder over into 20.
SIPA's got 4 million remaining. SIPA 19 has 4 million remaining.
So we would be just shy a little bit. Take the remainder of 19 for available, and then that would leave, if my math is correct, $2,317,490 to come out of the 20 SIPA. Is my math right there? Okay. That's my motion.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved to second, and my question is, this DFS operating system, is that's going to be spent here within this next year, I thought. I thought this was to bring DFS and the Department of Health computers into communication with each other. Why do you think that would take 3 years?
Well, I don't. You're absolutely correct, Mr. Chairman, but I'm trying to get the money set aside. As you recall, we put the $3 million of the nine available immediately to where they could get started. I'm just trying to make sure that we've got the remaining $6,300,000 available to complete the project. If we want to, as you pointed out as a possibility, we could perhaps go back and take all of this out of the 19 SIPA, which would be available in July with guarantees, and move some of the endow funds to 19 or into 20, something to that effect. But I think that we just need to get that placeholder held to where those funds are available. And your point is correct, I think.
Yeah, I think we need to have current funds there.
So we currently have, Don, what's available in general fund dollars? There's still about roughly $50 million, right? We could just grab four of them, or three of them.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, $71.6 million.
Yeah, general funds. I'd take it out of general funds.
Yeah,
so I would correct my motion then, Mr. Chairman, and I would make the motion, if it's okay with my second, to appropriate $6,317,490 dollars out of general funds for the DFS integrated system into the WES Wyoming something.
Seconds agreed. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That passes.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Summers.
So Mr. Chairman, I do have a proposal, and that is a motion to add $2 million to endow for the agricultural sector through the Wyoming Grown Program and the Wyoming Business Council by increasing efforts to market Wyoming-grown agricultural products in-state, regionally, and internationally. Additionally, develop a strategy to create small, regionally located USDA-inspected beef processing plants and a mid- to large-size processing plant for international sales. This effort would be coordinated through the industry groups, the Endow Executive Committee, and the Wyoming Business Council. And so, Mr. Chairman, I just, if I have a second, I'll go on. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And so this effort would just be, I really do believe in Endow, and I do believe that ag should be a part of Endow. And so I would like to do this in the 19. I think there's $4 million left, and so I'd like to start this project in 19. So, Mr. Chairman, that's my proposal.
So you'd like the $2 million to come out of the $4 million available in the SIP in 19? I'm curious why you want to put it as part of Endow. Why wouldn't you want to just, you've got the $2 million, if you have the $2 million, just go ahead and do it on your own. Or have them do it on their own.
Mr. Chairman, the reason I want to do that is I think it's important for the Endow program, one, to recognize the importance of ag and have a seat at the table and discussions on how we do this. So I think as we diversify, what this really is doing is value added for agriculture. And I think it helps engage Endow, and they've talked about value added for agriculture, but I think by doing this, we actually put some dollars to it, and we do it in a manner that's consistent with a program that the state's trying to do, which is Endow. And so I thought within the structure of that was an appropriate. I do want to work with the Business Council. I think I've identified a place where it can go in there, but there's going to be a lot of it. There's going to be other parts of Endow that are going to work through the Business Council. I just think it's an important piece of Endow.
Mr. Chairman, as a follow-up to that, I think it makes agriculture a priority in the Endow program, and the Endow part of it gives it the traction it needs. So this is a good move, Representative.
All right. Any other discussion? Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this just brings to light how Endow and the Business Council are walking down the exact same path, and we're funding both of them separately. To me, this is great idea, great money, and if we're going to do it, put it in the Business Council, because ultimately I think Endow is just going to turn right around and put it over to the Business Council to accomplish his task. It goes to the whole point of what is Endow, and I don't think anyone knows what Endow is. Endow is this dream in the sky of things, and now we're starting to throw a bunch of money that direction, and so I think it's far too premature. I like the idea, but it's too premature to start designating what this new fancy vehicle that we think we need to be driving is doing, and when no one even knows where to find the steering wheel.
Mr. Chairman, I would say we're already designating it. It's out of the gate, and it's going, and putting agriculture as a placeholder in that's a wise move.
Representative Walters, do you want to bring an amendment to the motion to send the money, instead of Endow, to send it to the Business Council?
Not this time, sir.
Okay. Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
That motion passes.
Mr. Chairman, I
have one more.
Isn't that what you said last time?
No, Mr. Chairman, I don't think I said that last time, but I appreciate the thought. So, Mr. Chairman, for SIP 20, there's already $10 million set aside for broadband, and I think there's a great need in the state of Wyoming for broadband. So I would like to add $2 more million, which basically the broadband program is a grant program. And so I would like to add $2 more million for a total of roughly two. I think the governor's Endow has, somebody's going to have to give me the right number.
12.
10.3 something, and I want to bring that up to $12 million total with that, which is above the SIPA 19 to go into SIPA 20. So it would be almost $2 million, $1.7 million, I think, would go into SIPA 20 for broadband grants as part of Endow. So, Mr. Chairman, that would be my motion.
And, Mr. Chairman, that number is $1,650,000.
More.
And, yes, And you did say in your motion, Representative Summers and Mr. Chairman, that you wanted out of FY20 SIPA. And I just want to make you aware there is $2 million still left in 19, but there may be another idea for that.
You know, Mr. Chairman, I think it's going to have to be split up amongst the years anyway. I think it makes sense, so I'm perfectly comfortable with a SIPA 20 on this.
All right. Is there a second? Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. While I appreciate the intention of my good neighbor, not knowing what we're really going to spend the first $10 million on, I'm disinclined to appropriate an additional $1.6437295.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, these projects, if you get a grant program and put in like middle mile fiber and you want to do a public-private partnership of some kind, it's expensive. I can tell you that a project we're looking at in our county is in excess of $10 million, and some of that will be local funds, and some of it we hope to get from the state. But these projects are not inexpensive. If you start to move broadband around the state of Wyoming and you really want to have an impact on broadband, broadband is, you know, and the other reason I like the Ag Endow because it invests in rural Wyoming, and I like broadband because it invests in rural Wyoming. And I think we just, because the underserved areas are in rural Wyoming. So it's going to take this, and I just, I think we have this opportunity now, and I hope you folks will support it. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Dockstetter.
Thank you. And just to add to that discussion, this is not new. We've been over there trying to find a solution, especially over in Representative Summers' area, to get good, successful high-speed broadband in there, get it taken care of. And this is an opportunity to get that taken care of. We've met several times on this over there. This is the conduit to get it done. We're already taking care of the rest of the state on broadband. We overlooked an area that for a lot of years now has provided immense income to this state through the Jonah and everything else. So this is a good move. Support it.
Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
No. Those in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Motion dies. Anything else? Anything else to the Section 300s?
Take that motion and just move it to a certain part of the state.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For SIPA 20, I would like to offer a motion. And my motion would be to allocate funds towards the University of Wyoming Athletics and the West Stadium project in a 2-to-1 match. So I would like to request $15 million to be matched by the University of Wyoming with $15 million, which would be $30 million in university dollars that can either be private reserves, private donations, or I guess I would describe it as any dollars they can find to match that 15.
Second.
So it's a 2-to-1 match.
In the West Stadium.
West Stadium.
From the 20 SIPA. And it's been seconded. Any discussion?
You know, just explain what the West Stadium is for maybe some people that don't know.
Now, is it the west side of the stadium, or is there another stadium out to the west?
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. This would be the west side of the football stadium. It's been noted many times over that it is in disrepair and needs some improvements. This would allow the university to leverage in a great fashion the private sector as well as their own funds to try and get these improvements in place. There was a report out just the other day that the football team alone brought $46 million worth of free advertising to the university and to the state of Wyoming in this football season. So, because of the tremendous athletic ability of a quarterback, quite frankly. But I think it goes to show that the athletics are the front door of the university, and we want to put on a good front. But it comes back to the main point of we're leveraging state dollars in a 2-to-1 fashion. And so I think it's a prudent way to go about a partnership like that.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Those in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Motion fails. Any other Section 300s? Any other Section 300s? SIPAs, rather. I'm sorry. Any other SIPAs? Any other SIPAs?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Larson.
Mr. Chairman, I would propose that, you know, in light of some of the significant infrastructure efforts around the state, around the perimeter of the state, that we perhaps look at some of the infrastructure needs in some of the more remote center parts of the state. And I would propose we put $2 million for broadband investments into the SIPA to come out of the SIPA 20 account to be used somewhat along the lines. In fact, I think we could just, I would just make the proposal that we put it in with the Endow broadband initiative. That's my motion.
Second.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Larson, I always like your motions, but I really need a deeper understanding of how this differs from the motion we just defeated.
I think that there's a lot of similarities.
Different part of the state.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that there's a lot of similarities to my neighbors across the mountain, Mr. Chairman, and I would just testify to this committee that with some efforts that I've seen trying to take place on in Fremont County and some of those remote areas from Dubois down into Pavilion and in some of those areas where, frankly, towers don't work real well, and there's just a real need to be able to have similar access to broadband in the heart of this state as there is around the perimeter of the state.
So, heart, perimeter. What's the difference?
Okay, so heart of the state, front door of the state. Okay. Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, you know, once again, I just I want to reiterate that I think broadband is so important. Of all the things we can do to diversify the economy in the state, across the whole state, you know, it's easy enough to say here in the big cities that we're going to do these things, and that's great. But when you talk about across the state, the one thing that can benefit rural Wyoming to get more diversification of economy is broadband. And we just need to step up the plate and say this is the time to work on it.
So I have an amendment to the amendment or to the proposal, and I would propose that we direct these funds to the Wyoming Business Council to direct towards the same location. It doesn't need to go into Endow. Business Council can do it. You can apply for it, and they can direct it.
Mr. Chairman, I take that as a friendly amendment. I just think we need to focus on being able to do that.
Now it's a different motion.
All right. Anything else?
Yeah. Just
as Senator Landon.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, but correct me if I'm right. We've got 12.
Correct you if you're right.
Yeah. We've got 12
correct.
Million now going into 10. To broadband.
10 point.
Oh,
about 10.5.
We reduced it to 10.5.
It failed.
That must have happened when I was glazed over. Yeah. So 10.5, and this would increase what we're throwing into broadband by 2 more million. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I need a definition of what the central part of the state is versus the perimeter.
It's the heart.
Or is it other parts?
I would be happy to do that, Mr. Chairman, if you'd like me to. If we take Wyoming.
Mr. Chairman, I heard yesterday that Laramie was the front door, and so that makes me wonder about your part of the world. What?
That we, didn't escape me at the time.
Mr. Chairman, we know that we know that the riches of the world come from the bowels.
It's downslope. I'm going to vote no on this, but and because we've already got $10.5 million in endow ready to go in here, and the idea on my understanding of broadband is to extend it throughout. Many towns already have good broadband. You're exactly right there. So where else are we going to spend that $10 million? But in those places that are already underserved, and if we're going to spend $2 million in this portion, and then $2 million in this portion, $2 million in this portion, then we're balkanizing the entire thing, I think. Anyway, any other discussion on the motion?
Question.
As amended? Okay. Question being called. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
All those in favor, please raise your hand. Motion fails. Any more SIPA amendments? Any more SIPA amendments? SIPA's closed. All right, we only have the 300s left. Let's take a break.
So before we talked about earlier this week and last week revenue enhancements that we talked about putting in the budget. And so we could still do some of those revenue enhancements in the budget for one time, or we could submit bills in the alternative. So I just want the committee to think about that. If we want to do it, for example, an increase to the corporate tax from $50 to $75.
You mean the corporate filing fee?
Corporate filing fee. I know that there's not a bill like that or a similar bill in Revenue Committee. We've talked about that over the last couple of weeks. And so the question is, do we want to – we can put revenue enhancers in their equivalent to it in the budget bill for 2 years, or we could actually just support a bill to do it. We don't, and what we could do is just have the bill drafted and just have a say-so in our round robin, depending on what happens in Revenue Committee and what passes on a Revenue Committee. So, and we could do the same with tobacco, and we could do the same with alcohol if we chose to. We don't know where those bills are going to go, if they're going to come out, what's going to happen to them. Do we want to be prepared to do that for revenue enhancements or not? So I just want to leave that thought process, and we could actually do a 2 cents as well, a separate bill for 2 cents on lodging tax, if we want to begin building the foundation for funding education, not only through the 1% and the 33 that we've did, but looking into 21-22, and if we can actually start that process now if we choose to. And we kind of discussed that over the last two months, but we kind of left it off and trailed it. So I just wanted to bring it back to everyone's thought process. We can come back and decide after our break if there's a preference of the committee on where we want to go on any of those.
Okay. We will reconvene at 2:45.
Mr. Chairman, we have these listed in really no particular order. Happy to raise them or have people offer amendments themselves, and we will check them off or however you wish to proceed.
Why don't you start, and then if there's something that they have that you left out, then they can bring it up.
Mr. Chairman, it is not. We have not passed this out.
I don't have a list.
And the reason being is some of you have withdrawn your ideas. The first issue, I believe, is Representative. The first issue is retiree health funding.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Burkhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would propose an amendment on Section 300, 30, I believe it is 305. Yes, 305C. And this is the section that talks about retiree health insurance, and this is the section that covers post 35. It's page 35 on that large handout we have.
What large handout?
Last year's budget bill.
That big thick one from 2 days ago.
Oh, man.
What page is it?
35. Mr. Chairman, I'll wait while everyone digs it out.
Ryan, I think I filed mine away. Great. Thank you.
Okay, if most everyone has it, it's on page 35C at the bottom of the page. And, Mr. Chairman, my amendment would be to amend the funding source to take the money for this, as we did with the pre-2008 retiree payments, from the retiree health insurance fund rather than general funds. That amounts to roughly $7.3 million based on last year's, and lets the current amount being taken out of general fund, the 0.6% of payroll, to not be general funds. It would fund this out of that account for only this biennium. There would be no change in benefits to anyone. I'm proposing we do is change the funding source to use funds that are currently available other than general fund.
Second.
Mr. Chairman, might we suggest an alternative way of saying that?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Just to make sure that we understand, that we would, I think you might intend for the agency budgets to be reduced by the amount that they're funded with this 0.6% for purposes of deposit to this account.
Mr. Chairman. Basically,
don't make the deposits for this biennium.
Correct, Mr. Chairman. That the in series code 0197 is where that money is in each agency budget. And so that's the base of the recommendation, is to not take that, to not appropriate that, and instead pay for the health retiree health insurance from the existing account. That what we did the other day takes $3.2 million out of 25.8, leaves whatever that is, $23 million in there, and this would take approximately $7.3 million out of that. So it would leave approximately $15 million in there.
Mr. Chairman, one more point of clarification. We would reduce all the 0.6 percentages, which would be inclusive of general fund, federal funds, and other funds. Is that correct?
Correct, Mr. Chairman. This would save the general fund, I believe, approximately $6 million.
Okay. And it's been seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That passes.
Mr. Chairman, the next item we have is borrowing authority. Even though we have some effective immediate funds for school capital construction, the balance of that account is paid for by state royalties, which come in throughout the year and are often lagged for accrual accounting. So there's likely to be a need for potential, and it won't be large anymore, but potential $10, $20 million borrowing authority in the school capital construction account, just so they can go out and not have to wait for revenue to trickle in every month. They can go out and bid on large projects.
Don, do you have a projection, a reasonable number for those?
Mr. Chairman, we've never done this before because we've always had cash in there, but
I wouldn't move the $25 million.
And from what source?
Lizard. I'm just thinking that would be the easiest. I think it would be. It's just a contingency backup for...
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Larson.
Is there not also the ability to borrow from that, or guarantee it with that school permanent land fund?
Is this just for schools?
Mr. Chairman, it is just for schools, but to give you an example, in the early part of each fiscal year, $75 million is paid out for major maintenance for school districts before any revenue is generated.
Is that paid out by quarter?
No, Mr. Chairman. It's a one-time payment first of the fiscal year.
So what about the school foundation account, the larger school foundation account? It makes more sense to guarantee it out of that.
Mr. Chairman, it has cash flow problems of its own where it has to take somewhere around $400, maybe $500 million per year of borrowing from the permanent fund. Mr. Chairman, you could use the permanent common school, permanent land fund, or the LSRA, and they have a cash balance now. You know, they have over $100 million, I'm sure, of a cash balance now. But the projects are being completed, and we're building fewer and fewer projects, so we're going to end up in a position where you have that $75 million payment, give or take, early in the fiscal year before any of the revenue has been deposited.
So I'd bend that to $100 million, and I would take it out of the school permanent account.
Second.
As a backdrop. That's the motion.
Where are we taking it from?
Matt, you can speak. The permanent.
I suspect you're going to have a new motion here in a minute.
Mr. Chairman, we would just reference the same statute authorizing it to be taken for the school foundation program, or the school CAPCON would limit this to $100 million. Currently, there is no interest paid on that.
That's fine.
Okay.
It's peer to pay Paul. Yeah.
Okay. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to clarify, what fund? I'm looking at the Common School Permanent Land Fund Spending Policy Reserve Account, and that doesn't seem to have enough. So I'm looking on my white goldenrod. Is which one are we taking it from? Well, what page is that?
The big one. The big one.
The Common School Permanent Land.
Oh, it's not in this.
Could you turn your mic on, please?
No, I'm just mumbling. I don't want people to hear that.
Question. You have any more questions?
We were waiting for you.
No, sorry. I'm done.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Any other discussion? Ready for the motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That motion passes.
Mr. Chairman, the next one I have on my list has been discussed in a variety of different contexts, so let me read through all of the iterations of this. The first is to extend the replacement schedule for hardware. Another option would be to require bulk purchasing for all state agencies through ETS. Another variation on that same theme is to require bulk purchasing for K-12 districts. And then a final version on that same theme is to reduce the total hardware and or software exception request by a percentage, 5, 10, 15.
Mr. Co-Chair. So, and I've been discussing this with the executive branch. And they are in the process of, I think, implementing this basic concept. And the concept is that whenever possible, all computers and computer software should pass through and be bought in bulk by all state agencies, including UW, community colleges, and schools, to the extent possible. And so what we want to do is establish a directive to all of those folks that to coordinate with the executive branch to purchase all those standard equipments and software through a bulk purchasing process as near as possible on a regular, either annual, quarterly basis, to maximize the buying power of all of those entities. And so that's basically the directive, and then I'll allow you guys to craft that note. At this point, and what the state executive branch is going to do, and hopefully with the assistance of the colleges, however that's going to work, if it does, and the school districts, but we want to monitor the savings, because right now we have ETS, which is, you know, they've got a purchasing rate, but that doesn't happen on a bulk rate basis. And if you go in and you communicate with ETS and we place orders for 2,500 laptops and 3,000 desktop computers, the estimate is that that price will drop at least 10, if not 20%, and particularly if you have the standardized general Ghost software that goes on to those particular pieces of equipment. It's different on specialized equipment and programs, but for the bulk of state government, that's what we use. And, you know, we're expending in excess of $15 million, I believe, at least on that. And so, and literally, if we cooperate as government agencies and go through a bulk process, we can save $2, $3, $4 million at minimum biannually by doing that. And so it's a matter of cooperation, but also a monitoring process so we can know what the savings are, what's being purchased, and how to go about doing that in the most efficient and cost-effective way.
Second.
Got it? Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That motion passes.
Mr. Chairman, the next item what we have is quarterly reporting on the Title 25 expenditures from the Department of Health.
So, Mr. Co-Chair, this is my recommendation. As you recall, we had a task force that went and evaluated the Title 25 process, and at the time there were estimations that we're going to be $25 million dollars, at least biannually, over that cost. And as a result of that, we instituted first a cooperative and then a more direct gatekeeper process. And we had meetings with healthcare providers. We had meetings with the judicial branch and with prosecutors, and created a general acknowledgement that it was a problem, and that problem then started and has since then gotten a little bit better and a little bit better in terms of total expenditures. However, there are certain counties that are spiking right now. There are some that are going down. And what I'm afraid is we're going to lose our momentum and all the work that we put into this project over the course of literally 2 or 3 years. And so what I would like this to do is kind of have a short synopsis of what was done in the past. So we're describing the efforts that were done, kind of like I just did, but a lot better than I can do it. And then require the Department of Health with and directives to the reciprocating state agencies that are components of this, so we can monitor and track how the Title 25 are increasing or decreasing, because if all of a sudden we start getting upward trajectories, if we don't get it on it immediately, then by the time we're here next year, all of a sudden we could be looking at a $15 or $20 million addition that we're going to have to spend. And I just don't want to lose the traction of all the work and time and effort that we put into that project. So that's the motion.
Second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That motion passes.
Mr. Chairman, the next item on our list is this committee approved 50 FTE reduction over the course of the next biennium, 25 of which need to be accomplished by July 1st, 2019. Assuming that midpoint date, there was a request to look at entities that were not captured under that, including the University of Wyoming and community colleges and the judicial branch, for consideration of commensurate reductions.
So, Mr. Co-Chair, so this is basically a smaller version of Section 320 that we passed and which was partially implemented by the executive branch, but not fully executed. When we passed this, the anticipation was fully executed, it would have saved $20 million. That, as you can see in the budget, that number no longer exists, and it's I think we're at $8.9 million. And the purpose of this section was, and we allowed the governor the option of cutting programs or cutting individuals or just going in and actually we gave him a super flex authority to kind of take the cuts where he chose to. And so this would, once again, provide super flex authority to the governor, but requesting that he prioritize removing administrative personnel and not filled personnel, and the overall goal to being, as we continue to have lesser revenues, to reduce the size, the overall size of state government. And state government is 85% employees. But there are programs out there that we believe need to be scrutinized and or looked at, and that can be substituted both across agencies and across the entire amount. Because so at the end of the day, it's a dollar figure. And I believe that's roughly $7.5 million. Is that right, Don, in that vicinity?
Mr. Chairman, yes, although we anticipate only 3.75 because only one half of them.
Okay. Yeah. So at the end of the day, it's this is not – and through attrition, it would be very simple for the governor to find a way then to move out positions over the next 2 years, and not replace them or move around from agency to agency or however he chooses to do it. But once again, what we want to do is continue with the general proposition that we're top heavy at certain locations in certain agencies. And I think it's the desire of the majority of the folks in Wyoming that we've lost what I think the number was 236 or 240 state employees over the course of within the last 3 or 4 years. And we're just saying that the reduction of 50 more or the equivalents or at least the cost of those folks, it wouldn't be unreasonable to do that again. And there's no one in a better position to figure this out than the chief executive, because we're here 1 month out of the year, 1 month and a half, and frankly, we don't know what the ins and outs of all these agencies and where the fat is and where it's down to the bone. And so it's a directive, basically, to continue the process, to evaluate and to economize and take any efficiencies that he can find and thereby basically save us those dollars, and the first preference would be elimination of positions. So that's the motion.
Second.
Discussion,
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. So if there was a commensurate cut in the other agencies that are not mentioned, so UW, Community College, Courts, so go through each one, like on the general fund agency side, how much money does that save? If you did a commensurate cut for UW, community colleges, and the courts, what would each one of them be cut?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Representative Summers, We looked at this by taking a proportional amount of their total standard budget, and we used the $3.75 million savings target for the executive branch. Now, that's technically only 25 positions rather than the 50, because under the prior motion, it is possible that 25 get done on July 1st, halfway through the biennium, and the second 25 don't occur until the very end of the biennium. So that's why we looked at it this way. If you think, gosh, they should take the 25 on the first day of the biennium, the comparison's a little different. But that's how we looked at it. A proportionate amount at the University of Wyoming is $569,792. A proportionate amount for community colleges is $360,222. And a proportionate amount of the judicial branch is $108,013. If you wanted to double those, because, well, gosh, it's 50, not 25, but hopefully you understand why we took the 25.
So, and I would also add that we would request a biannual report from the governor on the progress of the implementation of the, so twice a year. And so that would be,
A semi-annual,
Mr. Chairman? Yeah, semi-annual is probably what I meant to say.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to make sure I understand correctly that we're giving enough flex authority to the executive branch to pull this off, given the work that we did last year and over the past couple of years, some of our agencies are down there. I mean, and I just want to make sure that we give enough flexibility to the governor to pull this off and in as good a manner as we could hope for.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand what the good representative is trying to get done here, but I don't think I can support it. I'll use an example. When we did the efficiency report, part of my problem with that was that they basically equated saving money with efficiency. And I kind of think those are two different things. And I think sometimes you can be very efficient and it doesn't necessarily save you money. It might even short-term cost you money. I think the goal here is we're trying to save money. And I'm not sure that reducing FTEs is necessarily the same thing. It will reduce our budget, but it can create problems in the government that in the long run might not save money. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is earlier in the day, we added 5 employees in the audit and in the Department of Revenue because we thought this would be better for the state. I'm basically nervous about making that equation that X equals Y, because I don't think it does.
Any other discussion? Representative Walters.
Mr. Chairman, I just like clarity on what the motion is. Are we talking of, I thought we did the 25. Are we talking about just the adding in the community colleges and universities, or where are we here?
So the motion is not for 25, it's for 50. I think the 25 is being used by LSO to calculate the overall impact because they're presuming that the last 25 for the second biennium isn't going to happen until June 30th. So there is no money savings. But it's still 50.
So within that, then, are you including the universities and community colleges within that motion? This is just state general funded.
Yeah, the
state
current motion does not. That would be an amendment.
Thank you for the clarity.
Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, this late in the day, I may have missed the answer if it came, but I just want to come back to the fact, what kind of flex authority does the motion include, if any? And For example, if we lose somebody in the Department of Ag, can the governor take somebody out of the Department of Revenue and put them over in the Department of Ag? In other words, like a super flex.
Yeah.
And I think that would make it easier to accomplish what we're saying here.
Yeah, and the answer is yes. He has full discretion on flex. So he can take any person that, let's say, you know, and I don't know how many people, but at least 50 to 100 probably resign or retire every month. And he can take any one of those positions, and he can put them any place he wants, and not fill a position someplace in the state. If he chooses to do it, he can also take a program and put a dollar value on the program, and that would be whatever that value is. Then what we did in the last 320 is I think we equivalent that to about $75,000, and so he can do that, and that'll substitute for an individual. So he's got as much flex as you could possibly imagine, and that goes back to Representative Schwartz's concern, is that in order to make any type of reductions in government, and to do it efficiently, and to do it so you don't hurt a particular program or a particular service that is essential, or an agency that is at the bare bones and can't take any more, then that the last thing in the world we want him to do is to do that. You know, to me, the purpose of the chief executive and having the appropriate directors of each agency is to understand the agencies and the good parts and the bad parts, and do their very best that this will not only not hurt any services, but it'll improve our services, because usually a tighter, meaner, harder working workforce can do a better job. And if it's properly run and you got right personnel, and I believe that sincerely. So I hope that answers all those questions.
Any other discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by
saying
I forgot my phrase. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying, oh, wait a minute. Stop what you're doing.
Mr. Chairman, I apologize. I'm confused. Yesterday you voted on the 50.
Oh.
I provided you the information as to what the commensurate amounts would be in those three other entities if you wanted to add those. They are not being added.
Okay.
And then I think, I just want to clarify, I think the co-chairman's motion adds some additional language that was not covered yesterday. For example, the OR program cuts, it at least is new to us.
But that was in last year's 320.
It is.
Yeah. So I want to make it comparable to the things I just added to it for you.
And we follow that. So this motion does not include the three entities. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
So there's no vote required?
I believe there is a vote required on the parameters that the co-chairman made on how the chief executive achieves
the
savings. Yes.
Oh, okay. And there was a second.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That passes.
Mr. Chairman, there was some discussion about the coal lease bonus distribution about 2 days ago. You'll recall there, Craig does not profile any coal lease bonus funds. $9.1 million is distributed through three entities: the community colleges, highway funds, cities, towns, and counties capital construction, and school capital construction. Everything over the 9.1 goes exclusively to the school capital construction account. Right now, we don't profile anything. In the event that there is a coal lease bonus sale sometime during the course of the biennium, there was some consideration that distribution should be revisited.
Representative Walter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To that end, I would like to make a motion that anything over that amount, rather than going to the school capital construction account, have it go to the SFRA.
It's moved and seconded. I'd like to hear an explanation why.
Mr. Chairman, I offer that because it would become would go into a savings account as opposed to directed to school capital construction, and that way we would have a chance to revisit it and decide where we want it to go, if and when that money were to come in, as opposed to sending it out the door before we have the opportunity for a discussion.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Motion passes.
Mr. Chairman, the next one was a discussion of whether the Joint Appropriations Committee wanted to provide funding for endowment or facilities matching funds at higher education institutions.
I'm sorry. What?
There was an interest. Okay. This is an opportunity to make deposits into the matching funds at higher education institutions. So one-to-one matches for community colleges, one-to-one matches
like
for...
add to the endowment fund?
That's correct.
I don't think we have the money for that.
Mr. Chairman, there is some interest in executive additional oversight on all expenditures within the last X number of days, a quarter, 90 days, something like that, by the chief executive or another designee to restrain government spending at the end of a biennium. Hearing no interest, I will move on. I believe the only other items are any actions you may want to do on budget balancers or the topic that the co-chairman raised before the break, revenue enhancements.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, now that we're at this stage, can we kind of go back and review where we're at on each of the accounts? So as soon as the Dons get prepared there, I'll ask the question. So I guess just my question when you get done is what do we have in each, you know, what have we spent out of, you know, each of the SIP of accounts, what do we have left in general funds, how much have we spent of LISRA? Kind of a review of everything for me would be a good idea.
Mr. Chairman, and before I do that, I did miss one. There was a discussion of a global reduction at the onset of your markup, a global reduction on all exception requests, and we were asked to put that on our list.
On the computer.
No, it was on all exceptions, or was it all?
So there's no interest in that? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, with respect to ending balances, you have...
Before we go on, I had one or two other things, so I just got to think of one second. Well, you can go ahead and give us the numbers.
Mr. Chairman, you've fully funded school capital construction. You'll end up with an assumed zero balance. You have fully funded the school foundation program, end up with a $100 million balance. On the permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund spending policy reserve account, you will have roughly $128 million, and obviously we will precise these, but it'll be very close to $128 million because of the guarantee. So rather than having 223, you'll have $100 million less because you've guaranteed essentially, Mr. Chairman, that will be $33 million.
Right. That's what I thought.
Yes. Even though you have a lot, about 95 that you haven't spent, the balance will be around $33 million. The balance of the general fund,
so, Don, if we remove the guarantee,
question is, if we remove the guarantee for SIPA for 2020, and right now all we have is the pen in there, correct? But and yet we're tying up on the balance sheet $95 million, is that right? So I don't know if we really need to do that at this juncture. Yeah. So I would move that we...
That frees up $95 million?
Yeah, at least on the balance, on the goldenrod. So what? So that's my motion as we...
Brings us back up to about 120-some million.
Mr. Chairman, that yes, my first number, about 128.
Second.
Mr. Chairman, is that just for cosmetics?
Yeah, well, there's no reason. There's nothing in there to guarantee.
Well, I know, but the intent, well.
So next year, after we have a supplemental budget, we have no matter how much money we have, and then if we have a new, we start filling that guarantee, that thing, we can guarantee it then. It just makes more sense.
So I take it that was a motion.
Yeah, that's
so right. I heard a second. Any other discussion? Representative Schwartz.
Could I have the motion restated? I got confused.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's to remove the guarantee of SIPA for the 2020.
The only thing in there right now is the $10 million for
yep, got
the
it.
Prison account. No other discussion?
Question.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
And, Don, remind me, I made kind of a concept motion for UW residency program. And I don't know if we ever, how far I went with that or if there was anything in language. And if the committee remembers, what I said is that I want to come back with a footnote that basically has them explain the their reorganization of it, how they're going to fund it, how it's going to operate, what those positions are, and the savings requirement of it. And you also may recall that I'm meeting with them next Tuesday for them to come present that. And then I'll come back to the on round robin with a footnote to further follow up on that directive. And so I just wanted to leave a kind of a placeholder for that. And Meredith drafted a footnote that I made a few changes to, but it's still pretty generic. So I would ask the indulgence of the committee to let me work with that some more, and I'll bring it back on round robin. But I think it'll be an easy thing to stick in. It doesn't have any dollars to it.
You can work on it the day after tomorrow, too,
yeah,
if you want.
Okay. Don, we discussed kind of putting a freeze on what they're doing, a one-time funding for it as well.
Mr. Chairman, you actually took action on the one-year funding.
Yeah, okay.
The footnote was not voted upon. So.
So. All right. So, is LSO comfortable with leaving that open, or do you want something a foothold, or whatever? The concept that I put in, voted on.
Mr. Chairman, when you come back, okay, we can vote on that.
Yeah, there will be another one of these.
Yeah, okay.
I can't wait. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chairman Nicholas, I would think that, in my mind, that it would be better to be participants in what those decisions are made rather than having them come back and tell us what they're going to do.
But the purpose of the meetings is to ensure that we are participants.
Well, so why don't we just have that as an interim topic to where the committee can participate and evaluate
and
how that
may be what I come back with. The problem is what they've already done and how what we can reverse and what we can't reverse, because essentially, they've taken all of the proceeds, and other than $1 million that they use, and increased salaries, done a bunch of other things that I don't fully understand, and I want to know more about before I have the motion and figure out what we can do about it.
But I agree. I would like it, at the end of the day, have them come and present to JAC during our interim. But we don't have to do that, and that's just part of what we recommend a management council and get done. So.
Got anything else, Don?
Mr. Chairman, the final ending balance of the general fund is $69.4 million. Of course, we would, at the end, request some latitude. Some of these positions we'll need to precise, if you will. But 69.4 at the end of the 1920 biennium, and that includes, it's not in addition to, but it includes $27.9 million in a cash balance at the end of 17-18, which is actually important because if there is a request from the floor or another bill that requires effective immediate money, you have $27 million available for that. And that's part of the total $69 million that is would be available for other bills on the floor. Now, recall you've fully funded Endow. There are likely to be additional bills with appropriations forthcoming. This also includes your action on retirement, for example, even though it's in a separate bill.
All right.
Been a while since GAC's thrown that much money out there.
Mr. Chairman, I might have missed it. I didn't hear the LISRA, how much we spent out of the LISRA this go around.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, that has not changed since earlier today.
Mr. Chairman, I thought we took the Endow out of LISRA.
Yeah.
We did.
Mr. Chairman, it's 244.6.
So that's 105 plus?
It's 105 plus the 139.6 for schools.
Oh, I did have one more addition. I'm sorry.
I knew you would.
On the 300s, I'd like to move 400,000 for, as requested by the Wyoming Supreme Court for court security in 2019-2020.
Second.
Out of what fund?
General fund.
Mr. Chairman, could you repeat that?
$400,000 for court security. That's the Wyoming Supreme Court and the court security committee requested that. That's the low number of their requests.
Was your sister scowling at you?
They've got two bouncers here now.
Yes.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
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 That passes.
And now I would like to make a motion for general fund for the annual Crab Fest at Bob's House.
Mr. Chairman, I believe the only thing you have is revenue raisers, and if you have no discussion there, the committee traditionally ends with a motion to authorize staff to make necessary technical corrections and conforming amendments.
So let's go back to the revenue raisers. Does this committee have a desire to do any other bills or budget additions in order to begin the process of paying for education for 2021-22? Because we know when we come back here in 2 years, we're going to be facing the same issues that we faced here, that we are able, because of revenues and savings and some and taking the 1% and the 33% to pay for it. And so do we plan on – how long do we plan on doing that? Plus we're taking out a LISRA for it. So the question is, do we want to be proactive versus reactive in any regards?
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the co-chairman bringing up this topic. I've been pretty proud of the work we've done over the past couple of years with regard to our agency side of the budget. I'm all for revenue raisers.
probably in bill form is what I would prefer, and let them take their course, throwing whatever support behind it that we feel necessary from this committee. But I will point out something that, all of us know, and that is that we really haven't had an opportunity to have as robust a discussion on the other side of the budget as we've had on this side of the budget. The agency side of the budget has taken some hard hits, to be honest. I know the agency I used to belong to is out of reserves, and they're looking at, you know, at some pretty difficult financial times. And based on what we've done this year and last year, we know that our agencies are tight. What we have not had the opportunity to do is to have much of a discussion about our K through 12 education system. We've beat the little gorilla up. He's all bloodied up. The big gorilla, we haven't really talked about him. And I'm all for any conversation about revenue raisers, but we also, we have to have a genuine discussion about, is 4% enough to reduce our K through 12 budgets? I do think that we have a couple of bills coming to us from interim committees, and Chairman Summers' committee will meet again next week. There's a couple of us on that committee. Whether or not that will generate any bills, I don't know. But what I do know is that those bills are not all that robust in terms of what they ask for a drawback in that budget. So I just throw that out as so that we can think about it driving home, Senator Dockstetter. You know, we've got a whole other side of the budget that is bigger than this one. So.
And by the way, there's two more things we need to do, because we still haven't done my facilities bill and the $4.2 million. And I think Mr. Walters has a motion.
Well, Mr. Chairman, you guys heard what I said, didn't you?
Okay. We know. We did. I apologize for talking to him while you're talking.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the hustle and bustle of the day, I passed over one that I would like to propose a motion to create a matching fund for the State Veterans Museum. $5 million would not be released until the veterans and the locals around the state of Wyoming have raised $5 million, so it would be a one-for-one match for improvements of the Wyoming Veterans Museum.
For the construction of a new...
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You want to get a little more background on...
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's located in the central part of the state. There's a veterans museum that honors all veterans from all wars and all branches of the armed forces. There is some opportunity, you might say, to grow that veterans museum into what it really could be, a icon for the state of Wyoming. And so this would allow those veterans to start raising some funds, knowing that the state would like to help contribute at such time that they were able to raise their share.
Any discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, get that number one more time of our share. And you're catching us late in the day here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do apologize. Like I said, in the hustle and bustle of the day, I've passed over this in my notes. Anyhow, the number is $5 million to be matched by $5 million, obviously. And the state's share would not be released until 100% of that has been raised.
And so just a little background. There's and Senator Land, you can probably help more than I can. Could you just kind of tell us what's there at the airport now, what's in it? It's kind of been salvaged, but it's a Quonset hut, kind of, if you could.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And, Mr. Co-Chairman, I'll defer to my colleague as well. But certainly, if you've never visited the facility, it really is worth your time. And one of the reasons we had a discussion about personnel in that museum is that we lost a gentleman who had been heading up that effort the past handful of years. And absolutely hit it out of the park. That's an old, you know, back in the World War II era, that was quite a base there, and a lot of our pilots were trained on that facility. And some of the murals on the inside of the walls were painted back then, so it's very historic. It's becoming, obviously, it's got some age on it and becoming run down. Representative McGuire has been involved there and has some ideas of some things we could do out there on that grounds. One of the old hangars actually dates back to those days, and his ideas that we could combine some things and really make it into quite a facility. So not knowing much more, I would certainly encourage Representative Walters to add to anything I just said.
Representative Larson.
I'm just curious, maybe the presenter of the – do you know if they have any access to broadband there?
Representative Schwartz.
They have a website.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against this, I get that it's a great facility and it has value. When it was brought up before, as they mentioned, they were very excited. They had 5,000 visitors last year, which I work out to be, I think that's $1,000 subsidy per. And then I would add, I actually, not this summer, but the summer before, I had a committee meeting up in the northwestern part of the state and went to the Heart Mountain Museum. And when I was leaving, I stopped to ask about whether it was a state museum, and it is entirely funded with private money. And I think this is a very worthy museum in Casper, and I think the Heart Mountain model would be a wonderful model for them to pursue.
Representative Burkhart, were you going to speak?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I think we all need to remember the rich military history this state has and what it's contributed to our veterans. And this is just one way to honor them. I mean, if you look at some of the history of the First World War, there were things here in Wyoming, Second World War, Korean War. It's a rich history. It really, really is. I mean, we have any number of things. We've talked about the Quebec One, which brings us all the way into the Cold War. And I think there's an opportunity here to attract more visitors to the state for those things. You know, when you look at some of the things that were done here, in some ways World War II put Wyoming on the map for the rest of the country, other than the Teapot Dome thing. So I think it's a really good idea. There's space there, a new modern museum. If you've ever been to some of the other military museums, they attract a lot of people. So on and forth.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know, probably some of you know that I spent some time during the summer serving on the Quebec One task force. And one of the ways that we spent most of our time was developing this lengthy interpretive plan, which is a sort of thing that museum curators do, I guess. And so I would offer an amendment, if it's considered friendly, that this would be our contributions would be after the development of a regular interpretive plan. You know, if it's going to be a state facility, I think we should do it up in proper fashion and not just contribute money where it hasn't really been evaluated.
It's not a friendly amendment.
Any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Landon.
I was just going to ask real quick, Mr. Chairman, did we not have a little bit of a sum of money left in 19 SIPA?
Yes.
Wasn't that like a one point?
A couple of million bucks.
1.4, 1.6, 1.2? 2 million even. Wonder if that could be a friendly amendment to my good friend from the center part of the state. That 2 million that could be matched out of the SIPA funds of 19. Okay.
The secondary agrees with that. So,
Mr. Chairman, could, co-chair, could you chair for a minute?
Absolutely.
On and against this horrible, terrible motion. I was chairman of TRW when this whole thing first came up, and it was originally an officers' club on the airbase there. As a matter of fact, the murals on the side that you mentioned were actually, they didn't have paint. They made the paint themselves from the dirt, you know, and all that's really cool. That was originally put together. I can't remember the name of the woman, but she's since passed away, who actually put that together herself. She gathered quite a collection. But, boy, she was just ornery as hell with this deal. And this was originally in State Parks and Cultural Resources. And they actually moved it over to military, to the military department to take. Military department agreed to take it because they could not keep up the standards there. And it was going to risk the accreditation of all the other museums we had in the state. The guy who has run it for the last few years has done a nice job with it. And you know, that's all well and good. But the fact is, it's a relic of World War II, as is, and it's nice that way. But we've also got a lot of people didn't realize that Douglas was a prisoner of war camp during World War II, and one of the original buildings is still there, and it's in state parks, and it's had nothing done with it, absolutely nothing, no interpretation, no restoration, nothing. Quebec One, I think, really needs a lot of work. There's the National Guard Museum up here. And what I'm saying is that there's all kinds of great projects around here that I wish we had the money to do. And just setting aside some millions of dollars for this one Veterans Museum in Casper, I think, if we had a lot of money, maybe. But it's pork, and we can't afford the pork at this time. If it was going to be a motion for money to be spread around to all these museums, I might find it to be a little, you know, might find a little more sympathy with me. But this thing is just a big kiss to Casper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman. Senator Dockstader.
How does one speak against veterans? But when we're talking about something like this, all of a sudden, think about what we went through with employees and everything today, and all of a sudden we're talking whether it's $2 million or $5 million. I think we have to be very cautious about a project like this in light of what the state's going through. Word of caution.
Any other discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Motion fails.
So, Don, school facilities, CAPCOM. So we need to open that bill. And have we considered it? Where are we at with it?
Mr. Chairman, you've rolled it in. It will be a series of Section 300s in the budget bill.
Okay. So
you've approved the select committee's position.
So, that, Mr. Co-Chair, then I would request a moot to open school facilities, and I believe I put everyone on notice on this 2 days ago with an amendment, and that the amendment would be to take $10 million from the 17-odd million dollars, which are now in component projects for Laramie School District Number 1, and direct those to be combined with the $20 million that was appropriated for southeastern Wyoming last year for a construction of a school building, so that the total sum would be $30 million. Plus the $4.2 million that we taken from the SIPA for 2018.
Now, that's already been approved, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And this is just where it's landing. And then also then direct that any remaining funds would be the in order to complete the build and design of Cary Junior High, be paid for by Laramie County School District Number 1 and approve the construction of that building and the construction component of the school facilities capital construction account. If that all fits. And if that has to be classified as an enhancement or whatever criteria in order to be compliant,
I think we should take all that and put it into a veterans museum in Casper.
Require matching.
An educational museum.
Sorry to end the day with us.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, it may be advisable just to make the $34.2 million appropriation and not dictate to Laramie County as to any additions. They already have that authority to.
Okay, fine. So could you repeat what it needs to say?
Mr. Chairman, I believe, and I am rounding these numbers, a reduction of $20 million from the 2017 school facilities appropriation to Laramie County, a reduction of roughly $10 million, which was approved yesterday in component-level projects for Laramie County, and through the transfer of $4.2 million from 2018 SIPA to the school capital construction, that totals, rounded numbers, $34.2 million to be appropriated to Laramie County School District for the purposes of construction of Cary Junior High.
Correct. And do I have a second? And just to bring everyone, because we're all kind of fading here this evening, as you recall last year, as part of a compromise at the end of the session, there was the recommendation for Cary Junior High for $40 million. And we kind of said, well, we don't need the $2 million that was requested by the building facilities because that was that added administrative component and an additional 6% that they tack in. And that $20 million is still there, and it's unexpended, and it's already appropriated. So that $20 million is available and been approved by both houses for, and we modified the language because you can't put Cary Junior High on it, but we said a school construction in eastern Wyoming, southeastern Wyoming. So all we're doing is we're adding $14 million, 10 of which comes out of the components department of the facilities budget, and 4.2, which is out of the SIPA. So, in essence, what we're doing with no new dollars, we're able to complete or allow School District Number 1 to move forward on Cary Junior High.
And there's a second. I've got a question on that $10 million that components. Is that something that was appropriated somewhere else?
Mr. Chairman, you approved that yesterday in the bill markup. They were already on the list. As Mr. Wilmarth points out, in fact, there were more. I believe there's a total of closer to $17 million. And you may wish to consider how you wish to treat the remaining $7
million. Thank you. To fill out the motion, so what I had originally done was just taken several of the projects and taken them off. Part of the reason why we went to Hobbs Junior High or Hobbs Grade School was because that's one of the ones that I was going to take off of that components list, because that's to add on more classrooms, tack them onto the side, still keep on the three modulars that are out there, and the tacking on was going to go on to the 1987 addition unit, that's not a good wise use of dollars, because that school is going to be rebuilt sometime in the next 5 to 10 years. They've already got, it's just going to come down the works, and it doesn't make sense to rebuild, to attack onto that school. So, and there were two other projects where Two of them are lying in the floodplains. One of them is
two of them are lying where?
They're in floodplains, and yet they want to add on new additions and make additions to those projects. One of them is 72 years old, and it doesn't make sense to do it. So I sat down with them and said, we don't want to do this one, this, and this one. But in discussions with Matt today, it makes more sense that we make a directive that, and so this is also part of my motion, that school construction and Laramie County Community, Laramie County District Number 1 will meet and find out the best use of the remaining $7.5 million on their component projects that will maximize those dollars and the length of use of those of those schools, instead of articulating you're not going to build do this, this, and this. I just think that that will be a more efficient way to make sure that the those component schools that need assistance to move them as high as you can up in the grading scale and finding out which ones need it the most. And so I had three schools I was just going to pull off, but instead I agree with Matt that it's better to just do a dollar amount and have school facilities and Laramie County work together to find out the best use of the remaining $7.5 million that are in the components project list.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Dockstar.
Maybe we could, it was in this room at the end of the session that we kind of backpedaled on Kerry in a big way, but the chairman of facilities is here, school facilities. Could you take us back to where Kerry was in that list, why they were up at the top? We were down to one elementary school out west in Kerry, and the elementary school is now taking shape out west, and Kerry was backburnered. Want to weigh in on this?
Mr. Chairman, as the immediate past chairman of the Select Committee on School Facilities, I will tell you that in all my years on the Select Committee, I've never seen the school facilities bill come down here and go through the process unscathed. And very quickly, it won't this year either. This Kerry project has been on the drawing board for about 10 years, and as you can tell, it's very important to this district. In the previous biennium, we spent a couple of years worth of work on the Select Committee and included a study and a restudy to determine best course of action here in Laramie 1. Laramie 1 is one of those outlier districts I alluded to the other day. We had a couple of them. We addressed some difficulties up in Teton County. I think we're good to go there. Laramie 1 is really one of the only districts we have that is growing in population. The co-chairman alludes to an effort made during this interim, this past interim. And by the way, the new chairman, Chairman Walters, is sitting right over there, so I'm going to shut up and let him take it from here. But during this interim, the commission and the select committee, through a well-vetted process throughout the interim, comes up with these lists. And what they did was to suggest quite a bit of major maintenance component-type funding to address five or six of the grade schools here in Laramie 1, because those are the school buildings that need the most help. The Kerry project was not brought forward as it was in the previous biennium. And so that, I will leave it at that, and maybe the chairman would like to jump in.
Maybe you wouldn't.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Senator Landon summed it up very well, and so I would just leave it at that.
Okay.
So, and just to close up, Mr. Co-Chair, so there have been numerous and at least two full Mercer studies on this, every one of them recommending that the Kerry Junior High be replaced and putting it, and the Select Committee has repeatedly made that recommendation. The first time that happened was in 2003. So it hasn't been 10 years. It's been almost 18 years that we've been going through these hoops. And as lots of things have happened, and it had a lot to do with who was where in leadership and how things were driven. And the fact is that this particular project kept getting moved down the list, and it has continued to be moved down the list over and over and over again. It's just like this is the old dog that just never found a home. And I would just submit that this proposal is cost neutral, in essence, except for school district number one, and they're going to have to dig down into their pocket and come up with $4 or $5 million to make this thing work. They've committed to do it. It's been in their plan and their model since 2003. I just think that the time is that we need to just complete this thing, and appreciate your support.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I may just add on that, I was visiting in the JAC last year, watching the bills be brought through before I was on the committee, and it passed. And, admittedly, it's a more expensive project than some of the ones that we're trying to pay for. But as we all know, the longer we wait, the more expensive it will be. I mean, the situation is certainly not going to get better. It's not magically going to improve the facility, as a learning environment. And so I think, I'm really impressed with the way the co-chairman came up with all the financial parts, those parts may not fit, a year or two or three from now. It seems to me that really financially now is the time to go ahead and kind of swallow this and resolve this school that's even older than me.
Any other discussion on this? Question being called. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Motion passes.
Anything else? Don, anybody?
Well, we have that one last motion to authorize you to fix everything we did wrong.
Before that, Mr. Chairman, downtown Casper, we've got... No, I'm kidding. Second.
Mr. Chairman.
Right, yeah, downtown Casper's a joke. Yeah. Okay, Don, what is that motion?
Mr. Chairman, staff would request, of course, you will have an opportunity to read through all of these amendments, give us the authority to make technical corrections and conforming amendments.
Let me ask you a question before you finish up with that. We now know, because we've got other committees who haven't met yet, and we know we're going to be having another round robin and another probably 300 session and possibly another sip around. Do we want to do this motion now, or do we want to wait till?
We have to, because they got to do the homework.
In between? Okay. All right. I just want to make sure.
So moved.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That passes. Anything else to come before the committee? Well, then we'll see you in a few weeks. We are adjourned.